Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this evening that you would open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're looking at what happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And we're sitting in a more intimate setting. Yep, that's the words. So I think it's only appropriate that I get you to give me some feedback. What are some of the things that happened on the night Jesus was betrayed? We've sung about some of them and read them in Scripture. Can you think of some of the things?
Jesus washed his disciples' feet.
Washing of the feet. That happened, didn't it?
The first communion.
Holy communion. This is my body. This is my blood.
Judas's betrayal.
Yes. Yeah, that was in there. Think of it. There's a couple of other things.
Interaction between the disciples and Jesus.
Yes, there was teaching, but there was also response from the disciples. Very good, yes. And in fact, in John's Gospel, that teaching goes on for several chapters. Yes?
Peter was told that he denied.
Yes. Peter's betrayal, denial, is predicted. And whilst we're not going to be looking at that intently tonight, but we often forget it's not just Judas who betrays him. Peter betrays. Saying I never knew you is a betrayal, isn't it? And the disciples flee. There's lots of betrayal going on.
Because the disciples fell asleep three times.
Oh, yes. Yes, so they do go to a garden place, don't they? And there's sleeping. Yes. And then eventually, while he's in the garden, what happens?
Jesus,
the soldiers came. Okay, so looking through the four Gospels, and the story is slightly different in each of the four Gospels. If we look at what happened on that night, up until they head to the garden, okay? So this is having them in order as best we can work out. Okay, so there were preparations that actually started in the daytime, but you may not realise this, but back in the first century, you couldn't just ring Domino's and they'd deliver you. Preparations was going on. It's interesting that we only hear about the disciples, but there's magically food there. Now, the guys themselves, because this is a Passover meal, or at least similar to a Passover meal, they may be used to doing some of this prep themselves. But don't forget that throughout Scripture, throughout the Gospels, we keep getting little hints that the women are around and are doing things. I find it hard to believe that Martha isn't at work in a kitchen somewhere helping to prepare what they're eating. But the story, quite appropriately, is concentrating on Jesus and what he's doing. We may like to know more of those little details. Sadly, they are left up to our imaginations. So, preparations. Then Jesus shares a meal with his disciples. There is much discussion about whether this is the Passover meal or it's an early Passover meal or those sort of things. What everyone agrees is that it's a meal. We actually see Jesus do a lot of eating with people throughout all four Gospels. And here we have him with his disciples sharing a meal together. There's something intimate about it, isn't there? So, and we're told that the meal was underway, and then, quite surprisingly, Jesus gets up, strips down, and washes their feet. The job of washing feet was that of a servant. And if you had more than one servant, it was the lowest servant, you know, the most recent one. If you didn't have a servant, did you know whose job it was to wash the feet of visitors?
The youngest child.
The youngest child. That's why it's good to be firstborn. but if there's only one of you, then it'd still be you. Okay. So it was seen as a menial task, but it was seen as good hospitality too. But remember, if you remember the story, this is... It does not appear that any of the group live here. They've arranged for this room. So think of it as a hire. When you hire a place, you go to a B&B or something like that, you don't have someone make you a cup of tea when you get there. Some of those hospitality things aren't done if it's not someone's home. Make sense? But so Jesus, as the host, puts himself in the lowest position. Jesus institutes Holy Communion. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And we will share around the table shortly. We think back to that first one, and that when Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, it was on that night that he was betrayed, on that night before he was nailed to the cross. And Christians have been celebrating this meal together ever since. Jesus identified the betrayer. It's a bit uncertain how many hear that, but you have that phrase where Jesus says to Judas, whatever you're going to do, go and do quickly. He at least identifies to Judas that he is the betrayer. He does say something along the lines of, one of you are going to betray me, and they all say, is it me? Is it, you know, they have a discussion. And so he identifies at least to Judas. As I said, it's a little bit unclear how many others heard that. But in one of the Gospels, it said that they thought Judas was going out to do treasure work. If you remember the Gospel reading from the other week, from John chapter 12, it mentioned that Judas was the one in charge of the purse. And part of the job was people would give them money that they would then distribute to the poor. And so Judas stepping out after they've had some food was perfectly normal. And as was said, he predicts Peter's denial. Peter's a bit of this, never worry, I'm with you, Lord, you have nothing to fear. And Jesus sadly points out that that's not going to be the case tonight, mate, you know. And Jesus gives the final teaching as they head to the Mount of Olives. And as I said in John's Gospel, that goes from chapter 14 to the end of chapter 17. Really brilliant teaching. That's where I am the vine comes from. We have the Jesus' high priestly prayer when he prays for them. Wonderful thing. So Jesus knows that this is his last night together with them. And he has this heart that he wants to teach them all he can in that time. And we get such wonderful insights into the Holy Spirit, into how the whole relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work, and how we are to be a part of all that. And that's what this is all about. And we see, as was correctly said, as Peter said, that there was discussion. The disciples would ask questions, which sadly showed that the disciples were very similar to us. Jesus says great and powerful things and they don't understand it properly. No shame in that. The disciples who lived with him didn't always understand him. Many of us who have been following him for many decades still don't always understand, because he is so much greater than us. Now, think about all that. remember, and tonight's a night of remembering. Jesus uses the word remember several times. But there's an aspect of this evening that I want us to remember, to think upon. Judas, the traitor, as John refers to him elsewhere in the Gospel. Judas was involved and helped with the preparations, didn't he? He was there. He was a part of the group. He would have set that up. Whatever was needed, he would have done. The meal that they were sharing, Judas was a part of that. Judas frequently sat down and shared a meal, shared food with our Lord Jesus. That, as I said, is a very intimate thing. That's a thing that friends and family do. That's why it's so radical about Jesus. Remember Zacchaeus up in the tree? Come on down, I'm going to eat at your place. That's a very personal, very relationship. Very strange for a holy person to do that with a tax collector. Jesus loved meals with people. He wanted to get to know them face to face. Wanted to hear what their life was about. This gives you an insight of who our God is. Someone who wants to know you, wants to eat with you. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Have you ever thought about that? One of the interesting things I have asked at times when teaching confirmation is the question of, did Jesus give the bread and the wine? Did Jesus give Holy Communion, that first one, to Judas? Did he wash Judas's feet? And the kids, the young adults, mostly say no. Judas had left by then. But no, you read the story. Judas doesn't leave till after Holy Communion, and the washing of the feet's before that. Judas partook of all these things. Jesus said, "This is my body," to Judas. Jesus said, "This is my blood," to Judas. Now we know Jesus knows that he's the betrayer because he's going to identify it to. He is God in the flesh, the Lamb of God who dwells among us. He knows what Judas has done. Yet can you see here how much he loved all of his disciples? How much he loved Peter and his blundering into things. Of Peter's boldness at times when he shouldn't be bold and you know, often putting his foot in his mouth, who will go on to be the phenomenal preacher we see in Acts. He loved the disciples who kept getting things wrong, who wasn't quite sure what he was talking to, who didn't want him talking about this death and resurrection stuff. Jesus knew who Judas was. Jesus knew what Judas had done. And I honestly believe that Jesus did all these things with Judas to keep giving Judas that opportunity to turn, to take a hold of Jesus' hand, to confess. But he doesn't. Can you see the lengths that Jesus went to save Judas, even though Judas has betrayed him? This is how much our God loves us. He loves you and me so much that he became one of us. That he went through all the ups and downs in being human involves, the good and the bad. He knew what friendship was like. He He knew what betrayal was like. He knew what having a good meal is like. He knew what it was to hunger and to thirst. One of us. And he went to the cross. And he knows as he's doing all these things that the cross awaits. But he does that because he loves us. He will pay the price you and I should pay. He will have God's wrath turned upon him because he will take our sin. He will pay the price. And what do we get? His righteousness. There's the good news. That's why it's Good Friday tomorrow. Not that our Lord Jesus is suffering, but what he gets for us through that suffering. And Judas had many opportunities, but in particular, I think it's good for us to remember all that Jesus did with Judas. And still, his eyes didn't open. He didn't respond to what the Spirit was doing through our Lord Jesus on that evening. As we think about that evening, remember this favourite verse, this most well-known verse from earlier in the same gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Loved the world, for God so loved Judas that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved you, for God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son. And remember, for those in your family that you struggle to get along with, for work colleagues or those in the community that you may struggle to get along with, for those who have hurt you and scarred you deeply, our Lord Jesus still did die for them. He still wants them, as he still wants us, to turn away from our sinful ways, to focus our eyes upon him, upon his cross, and be his people. He has earned us righteousness. Through his life, death, and resurrection, we have everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.